On today's College Football Inquirer, there are meetings aplenty. Potential meeting later this week in Washington with a bunch of people you've heard of. But maybe that might not happen because they're a little busy now in Washington. But a meeting in Dallas that Ross Dellinger has sussed out, where there will be a very robust discussion of the future of college sports, how it's televised, what kind of games you get, but also how it's governed. Plus, an SEC coach comes out in favor of a 2014 playoff. What? That's the Big Ten plan! We'll discuss and explain why lots of coaches might like that plan. This is the College Football Inquirer with Ross Dellinger and Stephen Godfrey. I am Andy Staples. And we got meetings on meetings on meetings. But it's one of those interesting things where there's a meeting that has generated a lot of buzz and publicity that is going to have a lot of very famous people at it. And then there's another meeting that the people involved probably didn't really want to get out, but Ross Dellinger is a very good reporter and found out about it. Both of these purport to decide, help shape the future of college sports.
Mm. Yes, everybody's looking for, I think there's so much frustration in college sports right now, part of its own doing, as we've said many times in the past, and its own decisions in the past has led college sports to this place. Yeah. But there's so much frustration that everybody's sort of looking for, how can we change? How can we get a new model? And I think what we're having is a lot of external sort of outside of college sports forces coming in to try to pitch different models, right? And I think it's doing two things. One, it's these forces, the outside forces, are trying to give schools more money in general because of the financial instability that we're seeing. And the other way is trying to give schools a new governance structure in college sports with actual rules potentially in regulations. And so today in Dallas, there is a meeting with one of those external groups, Smash Sports, which is kind of a subsidiary of Smash Capital, which is a private equity group that's run by former ESPN executives with a sort of a new model for college athletics, but that's all built around the similar thing that Cody Campbell is pitching, right? And that is amending the Sports Broadcasting Act to allow all the FBS conferences to consolidate media rights, number one, thus giving schools more money. And number two, optimizing schedules so you have more power conference versus power conference, non-conference games that, again, produce more money. And then number three, a new governance model that would be blessed in this, at least in their plan, by Congress, and would grant the NCAA, at least in the conferences, or this new government model, legal protection. So anyway, in Dallas today, a bunch of board members, right, from the Big Ten and SEC are there, and a couple of school presidents, including one from LSU, is there, talking about a model that their own league, right, the SEC and Big Ten, wrote a white paper and released last week refuting that model.
All right, I'm going to stop you with the white papers, because we got white papers flying all over the place.
A lot of white papers.
We got white papers from the SEC and the Big Ten saying, don't believe these people about consolidating TV rights. They're full of it. We got white papers from Louisville. We got a white paper from Louisville saying, let's consolidate TV rights.
Yeah.
It's almost as if the people who don't have as much money and don't have as much power would like to do something that shifts the balance of power. And the people who have all the power and the most money would like to not do the thing that might bring in more money to the people who don't have as much money and might shift the balance of power. It's funny. But what I find hilarious about this, Ross, is both parties, the people who want to consolidate the TV rights, which, by the way, despite what the SEC and Big Ten tell you, will make more money if you have taken a basic economics class. You know that if somebody gets a monopoly, they can charge more. And this would allow them to have a legal
monopoly.
Yeah,
it will for them, for clarity. Yeah. It would also lessen the gap, which is what they're concerned about. They just don't want to say that.
Both of these parties are living in the fantasy world where Congress gives them antitrust exemption so they can have a salary cap without getting sued. And that's the fantasy land piece of this.
Trying to find the funniest
but
graph.
But at least
in
they
Ross's...
agree on that, Ross.
Yeah, I'm trying to find I'm trying to find the funniest graph in your story, Ross. And it's tough. It's tough. Let's go with LSU president Wade Roos and TCU chancellor blah 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 blah. Okay, here's what I wanted to get at. Sorry. Not to attack your syntax here. In a statement released to Yahoo Sports this week, Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry, a proponent of the Smash Sports plan, committed Roos for attending and described Smash's proposal as a, quote, common sense solution to the financial instability. This is the same man, right, who came out and bemoaned the state of college football coaching, the compensation packages, incorrectly blamed the wrong agent, and then turned around and fumbled ass backwards into paying a coach even more than the one he had just forced the firing of, right? That guy?
With a higher guarantee. Yes, that guy.
With a higher guarantee. Okay. Cool. Fine. You know what? I'm super glad that Jeff Landry is in favor of this common sense solution.
Now, here's the thing. Let's broad
this is great.
Strokes. Okay. Widen out. Sports Broadcasting Act. Law passed in the 60s allows professional sports leagues to sell their TV rights as one so that you don't have some other football league suing the Cowboys and the Steelers saying, hey, your competitors and you're colluding to take away all the market power from everybody else. So that's why the Cowboys and the Steelers and the Jets and the Giants can get together and sell their rights. That's why the Mavericks and the Magic and the Bulls and the Knicks and the Lakers can do that. College can't do that. That's why the SEC sells them separately and the Big Ten sells them separately. And so, if you were allowed to do that, there'd be all of them selling the rights at once, like the NFL does. Maybe all of them selling postseason and the regular season at once, which is what would make the real money. And to Ross's point, probably more centralized scheduling, probably what TV would consider better games, because you're going to charge TV a premium for those.
Yep.
This all sounds like stuff the consumer would actually enjoy.
Yeah, but the SEC and Big Ten aren't going to do it because that would significantly decrease the gap between the Power Two and everybody else. So who are we kidding here? I also find it interesting that Smash Capital is headed up by some ex-ESPN executives when, more than likely in reality, the biggest opponent they're going to have here has nothing to do with an elected official in D.C., but the actual stakeholders at ESPN and Fox, which
ESPN.
Is Disney and Fox.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So they're, because right. they represent
they're
and fund
to pay
the interest of the Big
more.
Two.
Right. Right.
Yes. But on top of that, they're happy with the status quo. They're paying less and mm-hmm. platforming a select group at the expense of the greater good of the sport, while also funneling an editorial product that keeps that as the base narrative. They don't want to upset any of this. This isn't conspiratorial. This is just good business on their part. So they're mm-hmm. going to fight. They're going to fight like hell to stop this.
Yeah, it's so funny when you hear the SEC and the Big Ten say there's no proof that this will make more money. It will definitely make a lot more money. If all of you get together and sell the regular season, the postseason as one, parcel it out to different networks, I promise you it will make a buttload more money.
I think the question, but, at least from them, is how much more money and how will it be distributed?
The second one's the bigger one. The second one's, it is more. Now, like the Smash Capital people, kind of a rosy projection. And everybody, Cody Campbell, same thing. Very rosy
Double.
Projection of how much more they're like three times more. Maybe not that, but they'd make a lot more. Like there's a reason the NFL makes significantly more per eyeball than college football.
The NBA,
like, yeah, it makes the NBA does too, right? And the NBA doesn't get as good
as many eyeballs,
as
right? Not at all, right? That's the one that Smash Capital, in I believe to a degree, Cody does use is the NBA's numbers, where I think the NBA is. I can't remember what the deal is, but it's significantly more in college football right now. Mm-hmm. And based on viewership, it should be the other way around, right? It should be double or so. College football should be double as far as the value. This is what we're seeing this week. If the Friday meeting at the White House happens, since we are in a war.
Oh, yes. The other meeting.
I suspect that might get canceled.
Please clarify which war.
10 a.m.
We added a
which
new war.
War this week. Which
we
war?
Have a new
We're in
war.
War is plural.
Yes.
You know, I suspect the Friday meeting of all these dignitaries in sports, celebrities and businessmen in college stakeholders at the White House that Trump has invited. By the way, it's supposed to be like an hour and a half meeting, I've heard. There's 40 people in this meeting. So I don't know how they're going to get anything done, by the way.
So it might have been for a photo op or something?
Maybe performative. Oh, okay. Maybe. Yeah.
I'm going to ask Pate. I'm going to ask Pate if Trumpito was like, hey, look, we got to wrap all this up in a week. I'm bombing Iran. Okay. Shout out to Deza Samara.
I'm running away from this conversation as fast as I can.
Well, so anyway, what I was saying is the meeting's in Dallas, and if the Washington meeting does happen, you've got sort of two external forces, Smash, private equity company, and then the White House, the government, along with a bunch of businessmen in there, many of them backed by PE. These external forces, again, trying to sort of maneuver or maybe even take over college athletics in a way and deliver to the schools more money in a new governance structure. And it's sort of like, this week is like a good snapshot of the battleground that we're seeing, and we're going to see this offseason and probably for several years of the future fight for some kind of college athletics model. And I don't know where it ends.
Direct this to Godfrey, because I don't want you to have to say anything that's going to get you yelled at.
Oh, yeah.
By the people you have to talk to.
Oh, that's my raison d'etre, Andy.
So here's my thing. Godfrey, why are these PE people circling around? Why are they so interested?
Oh, we could take that a lot of places. You tell me which way you want the dog to hunt.
Let's go with the simplest reason. Why do equity folks do anything? They see an inefficiency and spot money to be made.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is just a competition.
Like, I read Louisville's white paper that they put out. And they're talking about how Ohio State lost money when they won the national championship. The athletic department lost money when it, and Louisville's athletic department operates in the red. And they said, this is not because of mismanagement. No. It's because of the system. No, it's because of mismanagement.
Sure.
And also, these people keep giving coaches more money. They keep giving themselves more money, the athletic directors.
And,
They're giving players more money now.
Yeah.
They're not acting broke. Do you know what?
They're not broke.
Like, I used to work for a newspaper. Like, they were going broke. Do you know what acting broke? Like, you're selling your physical plant when you're broke.
Yeah, correct.
You're burning the furniture for warmth when you're broke.
Yeah, my entire career was journalism and pro wrestling. I can get competitively poverty with you. Okay. They weren't broke, by the way. That Louisville paper, I guarantee you, without having it in front of me, is built on incredibly junky math. Because one of the things that they're not taking into account, and they're doing so, they're willingly naive in building out these arguments. The residual effect of winning a national title at Ohio State is that there's financial windfall for years to come. This is studied, this is accepted, and this is also discussed publicly in professional sports. You might go heavy in 1 year on a team payroll in Major League Baseball so that you can win the World Series and then thus raise stadium gate revenue, negotiate a new local TV deal, etc. I don't buy for a second that Ohio State was actually in the red. Now, I do believe, because we know, that we've been drunk with spending for a long, long time. But the first time the alarm bell started ringing is when that actually went to the labor force. Now, this isn't just the dichotomy of like red argument versus blue argument. I do think that people got scared when the wall fell down, if you will, the combination of NIL, Portal, and then Alston.
Yeah, this is
and
not they realized, political. This is status quo versus next thing. That's all it is.
Yeah, I do think people, I mean, I remember talking to people the day that NIL rolled out in July of that year, and people thinking, like, people saying kind of out loud, like, we don't really know how to do this by whatever rules there are going to be, nor do we know how much we should spend. And that really is still the case 5-odd years later. So I think a lot of it is fear, but, you know, I try to do these segments and not come back to the same three talking points, even though inevitably we're just arranging deck chairs here. And we're going to go through this, like, I think maybe 4 to 6 year phase of everyone sort of acting histrionic and asking someone like Congress to intervene, when in actuality, the only thing that's actually going to create real change is when the people with the money, News Corp, Disney, like, you know, the people actually rolling out the billions of dollars that allow these universities to build the stadiums. And then to some degree, I also think the people who are writing the checks to the players now, large collectives or some representation thereof, get together and hammer this out. Cody Campbell is not acting nobly, right? He's acting on behalf of Texas Tech because he's trying to close that gap.
He wants Texas Tech to be in the club. Yeah.
Exactly. He's trying to close that gap. There is no reason right now, as much as I might loathe some of their actions or their disingenuousness, for the SEC or the Big Ten to accept any of this on face value. They have the advantage. They're not going to give up the advantage unless it's forcibly taken from them. So if we want to do something that's groundbreaking, let's talk about a way in which that could actually happen. Because none of what's been presented here will.
Ross, the other piece of this that I find interesting is both sets of people, less so the SEC and the Big Ten, I think, but definitely more so the groups that want to consolidate the TV rights right now, are asking Congress to charter a new governing body? Do you know how stupid it is to ask the government to create your governing body?
Like, yeah.
By the way, can we talk about a lot
of unintended consequences here?
Yeah.
A lot of pro-meritocracy, small government bros asking for a ton of government intervention here. So I guess they forgot their Ronald Reagan quote pamphlet. I'm kind of shocked that they keep turning to D.C. for a solution.
Well, bad for you away from something you really don't want.
Right.
I love, you know, we're in a beautiful moment in American politics, as we have been many times, where the pendulum is so far to one direction that everyone's up their own ass and realizing that, like, anything that you lay down in terms of your ability to get something done now can and will be utilized by the other side. So as it relates to college sports, this thing could whip around in a way that a lot of our free market bros don't really want.
Well, and one, get back to the stuff you're saying, Godfrey, about the financials of athletic departments, like, should keep in mind too that forever, as long as I can remember, athletic departments work right around break even, right? They spend all the money that they end up making. They just
on
keep
purpose.
Pumping it
on
back.
That's the business model, right? They can't show a profit or Uncle Sam might show up.
Okay, Ross, do you remember going to those conventions like 10 years ago? Like what's the Heisman Week where SBJ would have the conferences and all that? You know what I'm talking about? In New York? And then they would also show
National Football Foundation stuff.
Yeah, NFF dinner and all that. You know what my favorite display was in the lobby? It was always from Populous, which is an architecture firm in Kansas City, which for decades before NIL showed up was a way for you to burn off your money so that you and the NCAA and the enforcement agents could say, this isn't a for-profit business. We're in this for the academic pursuit, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So what you would do is you would drop that
meanwhile,
excess.
Check out this wall, this fountain in the training room.
Holograms and waterfalls. Yep. That was sort of the remit of the late aughts and early teens. So yes, they broke even, Ross, but they had to burn it all. They had to burn off any revenue so they didn't look like a business.
And so now
they're businesses.
They're a business. Yeah. And now they're having to shift that sort of mentality, I guess. And now it's sort of too late because they've already blown a lot of this money and they're in debt, right? Mm-hmm. For all the facilities and they're in debt to coaches and they have these long-term contracts and these buyouts. And so now they find themselves, because of the spending of the last 10 to 15 years, in a financial situation that they probably never should have been in, but that was the system then. And very few people sort of put money aside. I remember during COVID, the SEC had to take out, you guys remember, a loan during COVID because nobody hardly had any reserves because they kept pumping the profit that they make back in. And some of it was for good, right? They're pumping into Olympic sports and they're creating new scholarships and new sports, but they're also paying coaches $10 million and they're creating these gaudy facility renovations.
Do you know what else happened at the height of the pandemic in the Southeastern Conference? South Carolina, in one breath, in the same 30-day window, it publicly said that the athletic budget was going to face something between a $40 and $50 million shortage. Do you know what they did 3 weeks later? Andy? They fired
Will Muschamp.
Yeah.
And $15 million buyout.
At the time it was 16. It got teased down because they negotiated. Yeah. So money's not real. They're going to do what they want to regardless. And if you take any of these claims financially at face value, you're the sucker at the table.
So that's what's funny to me is because I wrote this column last week, or it was 2 weeks ago now, that if you want this antitrust exemption, which you should for the TV stuff, which you should, because you can make a lot more money and it is fairly reasonable in just, you're asking for fairness. You're asking to be treated fairly like the NFL and the NBA, if the NFL and the NBA and the MLB and the NHL can enjoy these things, why shouldn't you be able to? You run essentially the same business. So that's a perfectly reasonable ask of these people. What's not reasonable is asking to be able to unilaterally impose a salary cap. That's not going to pass unless there's a significant change in the membership of the Senate. It will never, ever, ever pass.
Yep. Seven Democrats, correct, right? You'd have to get to the 60 vote margin in the Senate. I think maybe in the next segment we'll talk a little bit about Congress, but certainly they're very much involved in all this.
In the next segment, I do want to talk about Congress, and I want to talk about the Sports Broadcasting Act in particular, yeah, because I do think there's a dream world that these people are selling that we may actually get some of as the consumer. Like, I think it actually sounds kind of cool. This is the one idea they've had through all of this stuff that might actually be kind of cool. We'll talk about it when we come back. College Football Inquirer. And Ross, I want to get back and drill down a little deeper into something you said in the first segment, because you were talking about what Smash Sports wants, what Cody Campbell wants. We keep mentioning the Sports Broadcasting Act, which is this rule from the 1960s that now you're getting some people asking to be amended so that college football can sell everything as one. I'm trying to imagine a world, because you mentioned that this could change scheduling and maybe centralize scheduling and maybe change the way games get scheduled. Because right now we're in this awful argument where the Big Ten will not require its teams to play a power conference team out of conference. And so you get some just gross non-conference schedules. The SEC does require it. The Big 12 does require it. The ACC requires it. But you've got SEC schools that had ramped up their schedules. Now that they're going to a 9-game conference schedule, you're seeing them cancel some of these cool non-conference games. I'm seeing fans, like, we had a thing on my On3 show where we were going through the Texas message boards and their own fans were saying, cancel the Notre Dame series. Mm. And yeah, I'm like, what have we done where we've got the consumer begging for somebody to give them a worse product? And so this dream world you've just... And I know this is the thing these guys are selling.
Yeah.
But what if?
Yeah. Yeah, I will read a couple sentences from a 16-page briefing that is at the center of the Dallas meeting today that was put together by Smash. Today, over 136 FBS athletic departments independently schedule non-conference games, typically prioritizing guaranteed wins over competitive matchups. The result? Only 7 non-conference games between ranked opponents were played in each of the last 2 regular seasons. So 14 in the last 2 seasons. Mm. Those are matchups that generated 5 times the viewership of a typical non-conference game. So the idea, along with opening the Sports Broadcasting Act, is centralizing and optimizing non-conference scheduling to give you more of Michigan and Texas, right, and Alabama and USC, in Oregon and LSU, more of those matchups to drive up the revenue, which, by the way, despite their actions in canceling these games, many athletic directors I talk to want to play more of these. Mm-hmm. They don't want to miss the playoffs.
It's money. Either.
Right. The coaches want to play them, the ADs want to play them, but they feel like the playoff selection committee does not reward.
Right.
In fact,
they just don't want to lose. Right.
Example. Texas is the example last year. If Texas doesn't go to Ohio State, if they just play Rice that weekend, or I don't know if they played, I can't remember if they played Rice already in that season, but if they just
played UTSA.
Yeah. So if they schedule a guaranteed win that weekend, they're 10-2 and maybe they make the playoff. And so I understand where they're coming from. I also hate it because I like good games. And I'm not an idiot, and I'm not going to request that a company give me a worse product. I don't walk into Wendy's and go, I'm going to order a double, but by all means, just give me one patty.
Yeah, but that's a, that's an issue of conditioning. It's psychological conditioning because the fans are trying to react the same way we all are to these 1 year perpetual revisions in data. And so it would be just as quickly as they found themselves saying, I don't want Texas, Michigan. They could also work themselves back into understanding the value and the merit of that. I know nothing about basketball. I do know that Duke and Michigan played each other recently and it popped a big number in the regular season, which is something mm-hmm. that doesn't really happen anymore in the regular season.
I think it was the biggest regular season audience in 3 or 4 years, the right, Duke Michigan game.
And that's great because the people who are actually in charge, which is ESPN and Fox, they would be happy with that. But in both fan bases wanted the matchup. They need it for RPI. They need it for their resume. And it's not going to affect their overall trajectory. The problem is, we have created the wrong equation for college football fans, saying hard schedule plus hard OOC equals bad chance at playoff. If we can reverse that and just change the psychology, I think they'll gladly welcome a better inventory.
The committee needs to punish teams that schedule poorly and reward teams that schedule better, but they don't all the time.
Of everything we've talked about today, a shorter, faster, and more possible solution is changing the committee and fixing the committee. Because the committee is
getting rid of it and having automatic qualifiers like every other pro league does to pick mm-hmm. playoff teams.
Right. Maybe. So what you've just, by the way, Godfrey just gave suggestion. The SEC's argument.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And yep. Ross just gave the Big yep. Ten's argument.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Either is fine, and you would still need a selection committee to fill in the at-large and all that, but like some evolution thereof, I don't really think it's necessarily like I'm validating one conference argument or the other. It's probably going to be a mixture of the two things that I just said and Ross complimented. Like, and again, we're real young, guys. We're babies. We're 2 years into a real playoff bracket in the history of the sport. Not that four-team nonsense, and certainly not anything that came before that. So we have to continue to refine the process. I do agree with you, Andy, that we're in a bad place when we're cheering against the quality of the sport. When USC swaps out essentially Notre Dame for San Jose, that's not good. That's not good for anyone. But the fastest way to change that is bad television ratings and bad numbers for the people who have the most money and are writing the most checks or the largest checks. And again, it goes back to what will Fox and ESPN create agency for the first, like, what's the thing they'll do the fastest and quickest and most effective? And I think in the short term, if the TV product starts failing, we will see changes quickly.
Well, and that's the thing. These people meeting in Dallas, like, they understand what those companies want. And it's interesting because part of the problem here is that Fox essentially owns the Big Ten's television product and they're sub-licensing it to the other networks. Yes, Big Ten has deals with CBS and NBC as well, but the Big Ten is a Fox entity. And then the SEC is a Disney entity because Disney owns the SEC's rights, kit and caboodle. So they need to understand that there are more players out there now. Netflix is broadcasting NFL games. Google is buying NFL games for YouTube.
Yes.
These companies are massively bigger than the Walt Disney Company or Fox Broadcasting. Massively bigger.
There's a couple walls that haven't come down yet, but if you're paying attention to what's going on in Hollywood, it was assumed for the last month and a half, basically, that Netflix was going to be the purchaser for Warner Brothers Discovery. That has changed, and I'll keep this in a college football context, but essentially a very, very aggressive second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth bid came in from what is now Paramount Skydance. So that's the Ellison family. There's a lot of
David Ellison, son of Larry Ellison. David Ellison's stepmom is the Michigan mega fan who had Larry by Bryce Underwood. So we always bring back to the field.
In the short term, it's going to be interesting. Right now, a lot of people are trying to kind of like war game how the NFL responds to this, because that's going to be the Leviathan, and how they respond, every other sport will respond. On the collegiate level, what I think is going to happen, and I was just texting with some people about this, we might see a new player enter into rights, because we're going to continue to consolidate. It's not Warner Brothers going over to Paramount isn't a massive shift in the current landscape of who has the rights to what. However, on the long term, if we keep consolidating the providers, someone's going to come in and bid out for a parcel, like Andy's saying. We haven't seen Apple get involved in college sports. We haven't really seen a formal bid from a lot of people. Think the next step for something like YouTube TV is to launch its own native content and get live event rights specific to itself. Netflix has had a lot of success with the NFL. They're pulling over talent from ESPN, and we think that's to create buttressing programs, studio programming, the kind of way like, you know, SportsCenter used to be for live events on ESPN.
Amazon is NFL and NBA.
Yeah, Amazon's numbers are a little bit more opaque. Netflix, to give Ted Sarandos some credit, we kind of know when things are successful on Netflix. Amazon, it just kind of goes into the Borg, if you will. I do think they're happy with their deal, Andy, the Thursday night, even though they get the worst freaking games. All of this is to say one of those big, giant, gajillion, trillion-dollar entities, if they just touch college sports a little bit, it could upset the entire order of things, which if I'm Cody Campbell, I'm not wasting my time lobbying Congress. What I'm trying to do is go directly to Brett Yormark. Yep. I'm going directly to Brett Yormark. I have said this for years. You guys will both probably tell me I'm crazy. One of those G6 conferences should have done this a long time ago for pennies on the dollar, the way the MLS did with Apple and is now better for it. I've never understood why every conference lines up to be the 13th or 14th priority on a Saturday afternoon from ESPN and be buried on that terrible app. So it's always confused me why someone didn't zag.
It was always, I can't find you on my TV. But now you can't find Big Ten games on your TV because it might be a Peacock exclusive or something. So this is the time to do that, Godfrey. You're right.
Yeah, to your point, Andy, us saying that dates us, okay? I'm on the cusp of many millennial and Gen X anyway. It's not can I find you on my TV, it's can I find you on this.
Yeah.
From here on out. Yep. And if we think if any of us think differently, it's because it's time for a colonoscopy. All right? Well, this is the future.
Exactly. Well, that is in the memo, and what's going to be, I'm sure, discussed in Dallas today, is that Smash is relying on all its projections of, and we should say, I don't think we gave the figures, but 6.7 billion is the amount that college football will make under its current fractured negotiating format in 2035. And Smash claims, according to its projection, that that will be 14 billion if it consolidated media rights. But it's relying on Apple, Google, Amazon, Netflix. It is relying on all those other entities that aren't in the college sports right holding game
I don't know that the monopoly would double it, but I don't think 10 billion would be unrealistic if you are setting the price yourself and get one or two more bidders. I mean, there's significantly more money in the system that they're not accessing.
Yeah,
because they can't. They legally can't right now.
If you take anything away from today, I would say that both sides, if you will, the power to trying to keep a TV financial status quo versus everyone else in the Cody Campbells of the world, neither is being entirely honest with you, but both have some decent ideas about how the future should go. But to believe one or the other, I think, would be naive and even a little myopic.
My hope is that good games win out, that good games create more value, create more money, and ultimately,
yes,
people just want to make more money.
Yes, and I really want to hammer that home.
For whatever reason they want to, but they want to make more money.
Yeah, I want to hammer that home for a second, Andy, because like I know I'm the third chair cynic here, and I'm always the curmudgeon. No one loves ESPN more than I do on Labor Day weekend, if it's a good slate. Like, we don't live in any, there's no better time you'd want to live in for college football than right now, because on Labor Day weekend, you should be able to see 8, 9 blockbuster marquee helmet games. And then, by the way, if you're a Boise State fan and you live in Rhode Island, you can watch every Boise State game with a little bit of money, right? That's an amazing thing. Dude, I grew up, my parents loved their team. They never saw a game on TV. Most of us didn't. Like, this is fantastic, and this should drive the sport. But what we're asking is for the inventory to lead the way. I'm not against this, like, the mode of capitalism here. I think, if anything, college football should be worth even more. It's just going to be fascinating to see which side wins, because both of them are kind of trying to cut their nose off to spite their face.
So to determine which side wins is going to be up to Congress. Both of these entities, college sports entity who's arguing for as we've discussed plenty, federal legislation in Congress and these external forces who are arguing to amend the SBA, which has to have Congress do. They need Congress. So what's going on in Congress? I will tell you that the Smash Capital folks and Cody Campbell and his crew have had fairly significant progress in convincing many lawmakers that the answer is to open up the Sports Broadcasting Act. And not just with Democrats. That we know Senator Maria Cantwell introduced a bill that opens the SBA, but Eric Schmidt, Republican Senator from Missouri, even Ted Cruz to an extent, has suggested, at least openly, that the SBA is something that they're exploring. I'm sure it'll be a topic of discussion in Friday's White House meeting, if the meeting happens. And a month ago, it was a central topic of discussion among commissioners and the Secretary of Education, Linda McMahon, in a meeting on the Hill that's sort of gone unpublicized, but the SBA was at the center of the discussion. So this fight is over the SBA, and whatever side can convince Congress not to open it or to open it is what we're dealing with right now.
It feels like they all want an antitrust exemption. This is the one they can actually get, because this is the one that I don't think you're going to have people feeling, unless you just convince them to help you out and not open it. If you're the Big Ten and the SEC, nobody's going to feel like they're handing them way too much power by doing that. They're handing them a way to make more money that happens to be the same way all of the other similar businesses do it. So
yeah,
like, it's the one that makes sense. Asking to be able to unilaterally impose a salary cap, like, Major League Baseball has an antitrust exemption and everybody points that out. But Major League Baseball's antitrust exemption is not that broad. Like, they can't impose a salary cap on their on their players, or they already would have.
They're about to try.
Which is already what college football has.
But in any decision that comes from Congress, whether to open the SBA or whether or not to, there's obviously going to be policies within any decision Congress makes that are probably going to give control to Congress or some kind of board chartered by Congress in the government. And that's what strikes fear in many, is having
should
the government
strike fear
have
in all
oversight.
Of them, because whoever's behind this and whoever wants this, asking Congress to charter an NCAA by another name, again, you are at the mercy of whoever's in the White House or whoever controls each house of Congress constantly, forever. And so if you're happy with how that is now, cool. You won't be in a few years. And then the people who get happy when it changes will be unhappy again a few years later when it changes again. Like, you don't want that. I'm just telling you right now, you don't want that.
And in each one of these models, right, in the college sports leaders sort of model of don't open the SBA, but give us antitrust protection and NIL preemption of state law, all this stuff. And in the model from the external forces of open the SBA and give us a new governance sort of model. In both of these, you're asking Congress for certainly a lot, and you're asking them to give you legal protection that is going to come with things you might not
strings
want.
Strings attached.
Yes, for sure. And, you know, some lawmakers on the Hill, like Ted Cruz, who's been pretty open about it, he wants as little government oversight as possible, actually, right? But there's plenty others that want much more, especially if they're going to give such a significant legal protection to conferences and NCAA folks that for years, right, have resisted permitting compensation of players, basically, you know. And so that is certainly an issue.
It's going to be fascinating to watch, because, again, they were all united behind the SCORE Act for a minute. And now they're definitely not. Now they're definitely on opposite sides.
That's another thing too, Andy. The white paper that the SEC and Big Ten put out denouncing any opening of the Sports Broadcasting Act. The timing of that I think, was not just coincidental that it happened before this Dallas meeting, number one. But number two, the SCORE Act is undergoing modifications, and there was a real thought that this week it could get onto the House floor. That's probably not happening anymore.
Sure, yeah, totally.
It's funny how every time it's just about.
It's about just about.
I was remember guys, I was at the actual Capitol.
You were there.
It was supposed to get on. It was on the docket. I was sitting outside of the House chamber.
Breaking news.
In the, I don't know, you call the like Secretary of the House or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she yelled out, the SCORE Act has been pulled from a vote. And I was like, surely you're kidding me, right? And she's like, no, it just got pulled. So I was like, just, you know, oh, so there it is.
Guys, it's never going to pass. Solve your own problems.
Well, even if it passes the House, again, as Andy, as we talked about, with the seven Democrats needing the Senate, it has a very difficult time, unless it goes through a lot of modifications over there from passing the Senate.
Well, again, negotiate with the players. Create a salary cap that way that they've agreed to, and then they can't sue you, and then go to Congress for whatever narrow antitrust exemption allows you to govern centrally and sell the good football games at the highest possible price.
You just have to wait on people who are very greedy to be slightly less greedy.
It's not the thing is, they're not even being totally greedy, because some of these suckers are leaving money on the table.
Yeah, greed is not just about wealth, though. I think it's also about power. Yeah,
power. Yeah, yes. Authority power gaps and oversight. For sure.
Speaking of good games, we've had some very good games in the college football playoffs since it has expanded to 12 teams. An SEC coach came out this week in favor of expanding to 24 teams. Wait, thought that was a Big Ten thing.
How dare he? Yankee infiltration.
We'll explain it all when we come back. We're back at the College Football Inquirer, and shifting gears to the college football playoff, because this is something that we're going to hear a lot of back and forth on, and everybody seems to think the battle lines are clearly marked by your conference affiliation, but that's not true, because I think they're also marked by your profession. Gentlemen, Josh Heupel, the head coach of the University of Tennessee, in a story by Chris Lowe at On3, my employer, came out in favor of a 24-team playoff. Said, this is the way to go. This will get everybody involved. Everybody be happy. By the way, not the first SEC coach to say this.
No, Eli Drinkwitz last SEC Media Days came out in support of the.
That's Missouri. That's half
place.
Yankee. It's not even real. Half those kids are from Chicago.
Why would an SEC coach defy his conference administration and say something like this? Gentlemen, I think we know why. Because all coaches want larger tournaments. I've been listening to basketball coaches for the last 20 years argue for a 128-team NCAA men's basketball tournament, because in their minds, if they make the tournament, they don't get fired.
Correct.
It's also not true.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Everybody. Yeah. I mean, you would think most coaches would want the most access they can get. But you'd be surprised, Andy. There's one fairly high-profile Big Ten coach. He hasn't come out publicly. Mm-hmm. But privately, he thinks that the playoffs should be 16 teams, partly because I think he believes that the bowl system should be kept intact. And he knows that 24 teams, the bowl system is not going to be kept intact. So that's sort of the reasoning behind that in the regular season sort of value. But I think what we're seeing from a couple SEC coaches, and there's probably more, right? There's probably 2, 4, 6 more in the SEC that wouldn't mind or would support a 24-team playoff is that access is king to them, and they want as much access as possible. And this is going to be a debate for the next 6, 8, and perhaps even 16 or 18 months until they make a decision on a playoff. And so
which is funny to me, because they have a contract and they don't have to do anything for another 5 years if they don't want to.
They do not. They do not. That's correct.
Why can't you be normal? I like that it was Tennessee that really kind of broke contain too, because it's very much the spirit of that part of the country where it's like, I ain't gonna do what the government tells me to. Come up here and serve me that warrant if you want.
Even if the government's Greg Sankey. Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of proposed this segment in our pre-show because you combine this with what the athletic director, Mr. White, is doing. And that is sort of saying the thing out loud when it comes to all the previous two segments that we just had.
Well, Danny White, the Tennessee AD, yeah, very publicly has advocated for collective bargaining with the players, very publicly has advocated for opening the SBA.
Danny White is very different from his colleagues.
Danny White is very different from a lot of his AD colleagues, for sure. He's he is gangster status for sure. He'd drop a body down a well to get something done for sure. I have a gangster AD like level. You know, I would say like half of the SEC historically is in there where you have a true gangster AD. Danny White, he'd move a body. But he's also kind of, and this is not a joke, this is not tongue in cheek. For years, I've heard about how Danny White just kind of runs ambivalent or contrary to the whims of the big agencies when it comes to coaching searches. Like, he doesn't really screw around with that kind of stuff. I am really starting to admire his sort of plain spokenness and identifying the obvious issue in the room. Now, is any of this actually going to happen because one AD said it out loud? No, but I do take notice when athletic directors, because they're athletic directors by trade, are sycophants and they're yes men, they're corporate stooges, they're fundraisers, they're glad handers, they're damn glad to meet you. They were all rush chair at the fraternity. Like, it's that kind of stuff. Like, Danny being this bold, combined now with his head coach really sort of coming out in favor of the Big Ten plan.
And his chancellor, by the way, who was on the plans with College Sports Tomorrow in, to a degree, the SMASH plan.
Yeah.
And Donde Plummet, isn't she invited to the
And she's invited
the
to the round table on Friday in White House. D.C.
Yeah, the fake thing, right? Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, it's not real. It's not real. Why is Tony Dungy there? Come on, guys. It's not real.
Bryson.
We don't have to actually act like it's news.
Is Tony Dungy going to be nailed down on the Belichick thing? I mean, that's what I want to know.
I need Tim Tebow's advice on the future of the sport like I need a concussion. Like, no, just stop. We don't have to act like it's real news. It's fine. Yeah, I like Tennessee sort of as an organization breaking ranks, breaking form here. This is very interesting because, well, Andy, we really have drawn a line between those idiot Yankees want this and the folks down south, maybe 16 at the most.
Well, here's my thing about this, and I've noticed this in the discourse. When I posted about this the other day, I said they all these coaches want this because they think it'll keep them employed. Most of them have bonuses in their contract if they make the CFP, and therefore that bonus would be more easily triggered. I said, but don't do it. And then I had somebody chime in and say, it's not just about the 24. It's about changing championship weekend, all that. I'm like, you do understand if you keep the playoff at 12, you can make all those other changes if you want. Mm-hmm. It's not either or. Stop. Okay. Whoever needs to hear this,
go.
Stop thinking just because your school's conference commissioner said it that it's right. Think critically because Tony Petitti's wrong and also Greg Sankey's wrong.
Andy, I've read
neither
all those
of them
profiles.
Have the perfect idea.
Andy, I've read all those glowing profiles. Greg Sankey's a genius. He's actually undoing the human genome right now. Okay, what are you talking about? He's a futurist.
Hey,
that man's a genius.
These board members in Dallas. This is in the presidents. The couple of presidents that are there. I mean, part of the gathering, I think, is what you're talking about, Andy, is a pushback on their own president, on their own commissioner's thoughts on the path forward.
Yeah, it's complicated.
I was going to say, Andy, real quick, other note that I wanted to slide into this conversation. If you are an SEC head coach and you're coming out in favor of a 24-team playoff, you are either intentionally or subliminally or whatever the volume is, kind of coming out against conference championship games. And in the SEC, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Well, and here's the other thing, and this is where you tread dangerous ground if you're Josh Heupel in his particular job, in the Tennessee job. Let's say you get what you want and there's a 2014 playoff and you don't make it. Your ass is definitely fired.
Yeah, it the expectations go up as the access number of access spots increases. So does the expectations, for sure. You know, one of the interesting things last May at SEC spring meetings, the SEC had a pretty big decision to make. Right, was it going to go along with the Big Ten with this 4-4-2-2 AQ model, where the SEC and Big Ten each get 4 AQs in a playoff, and the Big 12 and ACC get 2, 1 G5, and 3 at large spots. It was a 16-team AQ-based model. And there was a lot of talk leading up to the spring meetings in May from the AD room and the president's room that were somewhat on board with that, especially the AD room, probably mostly on board with that.
The AD room seemed very on board with the Big Ten.
Yeah, I mean,
very
on board. I remember the first day of SEC meetings in May, talking to an AD about it, and he thought the vote would be 13-3 in the AD room for the model. And so I thought, well, by the end of this week, we're going to have a 4-4-2-2 16-team playoff model. And guess what happened? The next day, coaches met, and whatever data that Greg Sankey and the SEC staff showed the coaches convinced them that they wanted a bigger at-large pool. And so they voted as coaches against it, basically, or most of the room. It wasn't unanimous, but most of the room did. And that swung everything, right? That started, too, the deterioration, you might say, in sort of the relationship between the Big Ten and SEC. I think that kind of started it, and it's gone from there. So now we come back around, and you have coaches now speak out against, you know, a 16-team model, and four in the SEC for the Big Ten model. But what boils down to this: in Destin in May, the presidents are the ones that will ultimately control the decision. And from what I grasp from most of them, they want to preserve for as long as they can the championship game, the bowl system, and most importantly, the value of their regular season. And they do not want to go beyond 16.
That's not the same thing. Like, they can say, that's fine. Also, if you're trying to protect the bowl system, like, I need your name and home address. You shouldn't be allowed to vote in any election.
A threat by Godfrey.
Yeah, it's right up there with those people who edit the Wikipedia pages to reflect when the NCAA voids your win. I'm going to find those people. Like, that's my take and speech. When I'm doing research and I pull up something and it's like, wins vacated by the NCAA. Who are you doing that? What dork Wikipedia editor is doing that? Protecting the regular season. Those things are not mutually exclusive, Ross, that you just rattled off on the behalf, like what those people are trying to position. That's nonsense. And to go back to the beginning of this segment, you said there was a Big Ten coach that only wanted to go to 16 because he wanted to protect the Bulls.
What? In the regular season. Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
The regular season would be damaged, I think, by going past 12. I think having teams that could be very competitive in the playoff not make the playoff makes it special.
Yeah, a 5-loss team. In a 2014, there's a very real possibility of having a 4-loss team, at least, you know.
I think the theme of today's show is just, how naive can I present my economics? Like, I'm sorry, like, these studies and white papers and the things that they're ignoring and the things that we know about casually as industry insiders or whatever, like, you know what? There's a whole block of games that suck every year in this wonderful sport. You know why?
Week one this year.
But do you know why?
We did this segment where we were trying. Yeah. Remember, we were trying to move Michigan-Oklahoma to week one.
Okay. Yeah.
So, guess what?
What
if there's not any crazy upsets in week one? And maybe there will be. Maybe there will be a few, and we're like, "Whoa, greatest sport ever." There's a chance that we get through week one and like, "Wow, these games sucked."
Correct. They're going to suck.
What are they doing here?
Andy, it's just funny to me that, like, we're waiting for ADs to convene. You shouldn't have the power. You know, the whole reason we prop up this industry in a quarter of the inventory is because these ADs all come from somewhere. There's been a long line of, like, trickle-down cronyism. I work as a fundraiser at this directional Sunbelt school, so I'm going to make sure we tag on and you're going to be the homecoming opponent, because that's 80% of my budget is to go get my ass kicked by Alabama by 55 points. So that I know that guy, like, everyone here is being willfully and I think disingenuously naive. They're not representing the true reality of the sport.
To get back to the overarching theme of the show, Fox and Disney are also doing it. They're just protecting their corners. They're trying to save money by preserving this status quo. If we get better games, it's more expensive for them.
This is a good point, Andy. We haven't mentioned how Fox and ESPN play into the playoff debate. ESPN definitely is not a fan of going above 16, from what I understand. Mm-hmm. And Fox is a public fan. It has been. Eric
because Schenck they can buy games.
Publicly of 24 teams. Yeah. Because it gives them more games to potentially get a piece of the playoff, number one. And then ESPN would oppose it for that reason, right? Number mm-hmm. one. And number two, just from what I understand, they believe that their value of the regular season, especially in the SEC, they want to keep the games to be as much more important as possible in the regular season, and they contend that would mean a smaller playoff.
Well, they want a smaller playoff because they don't want Fox involved in the playoff. The current contract says ESPN has the rights up to 14 teams, and if you go beyond 14 teams, then they can sell some stuff to Fox.
If Disney spins off ESPN, we're gonna have like 9 podcasts. We're gonna have to. I mean, the reshaping is gonna be. That'll be actually be. It won't be NIL. It won't be Alston. That would be the biggest thing to happen to the sport in 30 years.
And I don't think people understand that.
No.
Good thing we have a podcast to explain it.
Yeah. There you go.
Not happened yet. Hasn't happened yet. Right now, theme parks are doing well. They're still siphoning money out of sucker parents. But
shout out to the Vols for going against type. I appreciate that. y'all stay rowdy in your hollers.
But please, for the love of God, don't go 24 teams. Please. Please, 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 please.
Your athletic director would move a body. I stand by that. Throw it down a well.
Stop it.
He would. He would take that as a compliment.
He will create some national championship merch.
Yes. He would take that as a compliment.
They sold the hell out of it.
I'm not even needling that guy. I guarantee you he would take that as a compliment. Greg Burnham, move a body too. I'll make the list. Gangsters.
Yeah.
Let a body move.
Ross and I are going to have to look over this list.
You're going to recuse yourself of that one?
Yeah. No, I'm not recusing myself. I'm just not sure you're...
There's probably levels of body moving. How many bodies would you move?
Exactly.
That's a good point, actually.
You know what?
Body moving. Sorry.
Beastie Boys. R.I.P.
It is that time. When I start singing, that means...
Yeah, that's right. You start singing the Beastie Boys, we're out.
We'll talk to you on Thursday.